Hello and welcome to the 131st edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Ep.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. We want to thank you for joining us, whether you're here in the Metroplex getting ready to make the trip down to Austin or you're sitting on the beach in Mexico drinking a Corona. It's football season. It's that time of the year. And Harry, we are about 2 days, 21 hours for kickoff.
It's exciting. I mean, I don't care what you say. You know, you say paycheck game, you know, body bag, whatever else. If you're going to get a check, might as well be against the University of Texas. I think the excitement is at an all-time high on the board. I think our fan base is excited. A lot of us are making the trip. I'm actually going with my family Friday, and there's events, you know, right off of 6th Street, actually 7th Street on Friday night, tailgating on Saturday. It's an exciting time. I mean, I think coming off last year's bowl win to have a game against, you know, sort of the university in the state of Texas is it doesn't get much better than this, Evan. I mean, this is what you get excited, you dream about, you know, playing a good game, winning, even beating the Longhorns if you're a North Texas fan.
Yeah, Harry, that's an interesting thing. You know, it's been brought up. A lot of people have been talking on the board about it. When we used to play these games, we used to just totally cringe. We used to think, let's get this one out of the way, and then there's going to be this letdown, and then people start getting back into the season. You know, after what we did last year against in some key games, you know, especially Georgia, you know, you know, there's a Kansas State. When you after those some of those key games, people really started thinking, are those days over? I mean, has Mac brought in a program and a feel and an attitude that we can hang up there more than we've ever been able to in the past?
Absolutely, and that's the greatness of Mac. I mean, he has kind of taken a program that was, as we know, struggling almost a decade of losing and turned it around. Last year, I've said it a million times on this podcast and on the board, that was the high water, that bowl win and the crowd that showed up in Dallas was the high water mark for me as a fan, and I've been following the program like you for a while. So you got that all that excitement that was generated on a New Year's Day bowl game moving forward now. And you know, as a fan, you would like to think that we can go into these games and have a fighting chance and make it competitive and show well. I tell you what, there's nothing that has a bigger impact on your program than these good performances in these types of games. You mentioned Georgia. All the games, we had some fantastic games. That game against Rice with a stand, you know, the bowl win, all those things. But nothing really has the impact of, you know, playing an in-state, you know, an in-state team that's got the reputation of University of Texas and giving them a game.
And somebody put it on in the chat room that it's an opportunity game. It's an opportunity game. It's going to be on televised as long as you have the Longhorn Network. But it's a big opportunity for us to show coming off that bowl game what we can do and where we're at.
Yeah, and you know, we had some graduation losses. I mean, the biggest one, Derek Thompson, your quarterback. But, you know, as a fan, the exciting thing about Mac is that you get the feeling that, yeah, we had some guys that graduated, but we've got some young guys that are stepping in. We've got some new faces that are going to impact the program in a positive way. And that's the fun part about this, you know, this upcoming season is there's a lot of question marks, absolutely, but you get this feeling of confidence because of Mac that there's going to be some guys that can step up and get the job done.
Well, let's don't forget that last year at this time, we knew that Derek Thompson was going to be the starting quarterback, and we had, let's be honest, we weren't really excited about that prospect. We were really hoping for something different. We were thinking, well, maybe we can support him, but we had no idea he was going to make the impact that he ended up making.
No, he had a great, great year, and you know, he winning that bowl game leaves a long-lasting legacy for him as a quarterback, but as fans, we shouldn't be ashamed to feel like, hey, we can do even better. You know, we can actually exceed where we were before every year. And that's the beautiful thing that Mac brings. His, you know, his coaching staff, his recruiting, the off-season training, you know, Frank Wintrich, what they're doing as far as building these guys once they get here, it just continues to crescendo year after year after year. And that's what I'm really excited. I cannot wait to see, you know, how these young guys come out and perform.
Well, it was brought up on Coach Mack's video. If you haven't watched it, take the 10 minutes while you're making a drive somewhere. Even if you're in the car, you can listen to it. But listen to the 10-minute athletic department Too Deep. And that's what we're going to discuss next. But one of the things that was brought up on that YouTube video was there's a lot of names that people are going to be looking at the program and saying, wow, great. Who is that?
Yeah, and that's – I mean, when you have graduation losses, that happens. It was sort of an unveiling of what we've all been waiting for. Now, people understand Mac is old school. There have been no media coverage. There's been no media coverage of any of the two-a-days or fall practices. Spring was wide open, but really, you know, since, you know, close to a month ago when they started, you know, getting things going, there really hadn't been much news reporting. So when he had that YouTube video, it was like, if you're a fan, you were going in, you know, overdrive watching it. It was just awesome because you get a picture of where Mac sees the program right now. And my impression was, and maybe it's marketing, maybe it's, you know, being optimistic, but my impression was that Mac feels pretty good about where this team is right now.
He does. And, you know, there's obviously, you can read between the lines. When you're listening to him go through those players and you go through the two deep lineup and he's going down, you can tell there's a few areas where they kind of skirt around a few things and move on to the next one. And that's really obvious for some of us that have followed the program. But for the most part, he makes a lot of valid points in a lot of positions where we did not have the depth before.
No, the depth is building every year that he's here. Are there question marks? Absolutely. I mean, I think the number one question mark is at the quarterback position because you're going to have a new guy taking the snaps, and that's always a concern, especially when you're playing, you know, a caliber of the University of Texas. But I think by and large, you look at what they've got coming in, and there's some talent there, and there's some ability there. And so it's hard not to be optimistic. Now, we may all be shattered the next time we get together for a podcast, but I just got a feeling that we're gonna be pretty excited about these new guys and what they're able to do.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into that two deep lineup because, you know, they have their puppy dogs and rainbows and unicorns take on it, but we kind of want to break down, and there's some questions, and there's some players that we thought we would see. We're not seeing. Question is why. We really want to know what the game plan is going to be for this week, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's go ahead and start on special teams. Right off the bat, he mentions the two deep. Two really unusual surprises there on the kicking and punting teams.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Masick's the one that jumps out at you. Guy was another huge walk-on success story, was awarded a scholarship. Was an outstanding punter. I don't mean just a good punter. I thought he was outstanding last year, and that was very surprising for me that he essentially lost his job to another player, another walk-on, Eric Kina. So that was a big surprise to me. And then, of course, you have Zach Paul, who was, I thought, very consistent as a field goal kicker last year. That is being replaced, you know, by a true freshman, you know, that they offered a scholarship to with Trevor Moore. So right off the bat, you've got, you know, two big surprises in the special teams area with those announcements that there were going to be new faces there.
Well, let's hope that's because superior talent stepped up and not because the existing talent got worse. So that could be a good thing. If, you know, we'll have to just see how it comes down to it. Hopefully we won't see the punter a whole lot.
Well, my read on it was Keena's got a big leg.
Yeah, he did mention that.
And he specifically said that. And I do think that some of the kickoffs and things of that nature were a little bit questionable at times last year. So I think you had some strength there. And then I think the other thing is, you know, this guy that they offered a scholarship to, Trevor Moore, I mean, he was supposed to be a really good talent. The bottom line is, you got to like the fact that there's no guarantees. These guys are having to earn their spots, and there's no givens.
All right, let's talk about the kickoff return, punt return. Obviously, Breland Chancellor's not in there,
right.
So there were some holes to fill.
Yeah, and I mean, I think You're never going to replace a guy like Breland Chancellor. I mean, he was just one of a kind. He was probably the most prolific returner we've had. But I got the feeling again, you know, that Mac felt pretty confident about the guys that are going to come in. I mean, you got James Jones, who's a terrific athlete, and we know that, at kick returner. And then, of course, Carlos Harris, who had a great season last year at wide receiver and is very elusive. And then at punt returner, Carlos Harris gets the lead with Darvin Kidzie, a real talented wide receiver out of the Houston area, backing him up. So may not have the, you know, the explosiveness of a Breland Chancellor back there, but it appears that we have some guys that are capable and that should be able to do a good job.
And then, of course, the deep snapper, Blake Dunham's back after the injury last year, senior year.
Yeah, you know, and he was always really solid. And the big story was that when he got hurt, Tony Johnson filled in so admirably. And, I mean, I don't think Tony Johnson had an error the entire season. So I think where you overall, you know, losing Chancellor hurts because the guy could run a kickback at any time. You know, if you look at the entire kicking game and the fact you've got – you're too deep at deep snapper, you have two proven commodities that have both done it during seasons gives you that feeling of overall we might be a little bit better in terms of depth. So that's a good thing.
All right, let's move over to the defense where there has been some questions. We haven't brought back the defense of old. We lost some real key players last year on the defense. So let's go ahead and start at the cornerbacks. Great story. One of the team captains, Kenny Byers.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Byers is exactly what North Texas is all about. I mean, he walks onto the program, he earns a spot, he earns a scholarship last year. And, you know, frankly, he's one of the best players on our defense. And, you know, people talk about his ability to tackle in the open field. He's a great cover guy. You know, I got to tell you, Evan, I feel more confident about our secondary than I have in a long, long time. And that's even losing Marcus Trice. I mean, he was a great player. But if you look at our two cornerbacks, we got Kenny Byers on one corner and then James Jones on another corner. The days of the Dodge era where, you know, you could just – it seemed like the cornerbacks were always, you know, a couple of yards behind – seem to be over. It's not saying they're not susceptible and they may not get beat from time to time, but by and large, I like our cornerbacks from a coverage standpoint as well as I have maybe ever.
All right, well, let's move over to safety. Safety, Sheldon Wade and Keshawn McClain.
Yeah, the big story there, Sheldon Wade, I mean, complete unknown. Guy, I think, was at a Division II college. Was a star there, then made the determination that he wanted to play at a higher level, walks on to North Texas, and his stock, according to Coach Mack, has risen more in this fall camp than any other player on the team. That's saying something. So I'm really kind of excited to see how this guy can perform. Don't know a whole lot about him, to be honest with you, but he's going to be our starting free safety. The other piece is – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Tony brought up in the chat room, how many walk-ons do we have in the two deep right now?
Wow, someone's going to have to count that. It's posted on the board, the two deep, but that's a great question, a lot. Yeah. I mean, for a Division I program, that's something North Texas, and I've said it before, that's a real strength for us, especially here in the Metroplex, because you got so many good athletes that are maybe go away to college and then come back, or, you know, transfer in or whatever else, and our walk-on program has a chance to be one of the best in the country.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we receiver last year that was a walk-on who did wonderful for us.
Yeah, Darnell Smith was a stud, and you know, again, a guy that went, you know, transferred in. But Darnell Smith, let me just tell you, he was a high-level talent. Now, yeah, maybe he didn't make his grades or maybe something happened or whatever else. But I kind of feel like the Sheldon Wade may be a similar guy, because if he's progressing as much as Mac seems to think, you know, somewhere along the line he got off track. But now I'm just glad he's found North Texas.
All right, let's move.
Let me also real quick, Evan, say Keyshawn McClain. He got a lot of praise. He's a true freshman, played in multiple positions, running back, wide receiver. He's a very talented kid, and he's number two guy at free safety as a true freshman. That says a lot. This kid is going to be a good player for North Texas, and Mac pretty much reiterated that.
All right, one of the stars that everybody wants to see do a lot this year, reminds you of the Buckles, reminds you of the Jones, is Laramie Lee.
Yeah, I mean, Laramie Lee is, you know, probably the best strong safety in Conference USA. People know that this guy is going to kill you. If you watch any of the highlight films and you see the big hits, a lot of times it's going to be Laramie Lee. And you know,
well, wasn't it Laramie Lee that did the whole epic Rice?
No, that was actually Sed Ellis. No, that's another guy though. That's actually another guy that we're going to mention as a new name on the list. But Lee is, you know, he's right up there with you know, Buckles, Craig Jones will kill you. I mean, he will absolutely murder you. And I'm telling you, if Texas, Jackson Shipley, and those guys don't keep an eye out, they're going to feel some pain.
All right, John Shalacy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really neat story there. A local Denton guy. His sister's a big fan on the board all the time. And
You know, that Denton connection, we always wanted to have a strong Denton connection, never had one. It's great to see a player that can step up like that.
It's fantastic. And I think John, he's young. I mean, he's a sophomore. His best days are ahead of him. But the whole safety position, you know, Zed Evans was a transfer from Louisville that was a really good player that had some health issues, had to leave, before spring, really. I mean, basically had to leave the program. They were a little bit in flux. They brought in a junior college kid, Dash, and we kind of were being told by some of the articles and stuff that Dash would be the guy, but he's not in the two deep. Now that doesn't mean he isn't going to play, but I think if you're a John Shalacy, you got to sit there, you got to be really happy about the fact that as a sophomore, you're in the two deep. I mean, he's got a chance to play a lot.
All right, dude, you are the guru of North Texas football, but they called you out in the chat room. It was Lee that ended the stand.
Oh, you said ended the stand. I thought when you say Rice, I'm thinking of the big hit. So my bad. I was thinking about that huge hit.
No, I was talking about the stand.
Okay, the stand. My bad. Okay, I'm corrected. Sorry.
I knew I had a little bit there, man. So that was quite. Our hearts were pounding. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome play. And I mean, he's an awesome player. I mean, he's going to be a leader that they count on this season.
All right, defensive tackle. You got Alexander Lincoln and Austin Orr.
Yeah, Alexander Lincoln been in the program, you know, pretty much the entire MAC regime. He's a little undersized. That's the thing you always hear about him, but the guy has got real good quickness. And I think the consistent thing you'll see, I mean, hey, let's be honest. We're replacing pretty much our entire front seven this year. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge for any program. But the thing I like about a guy like Alexander Lincoln, he's played a lot of football for us. He's been very consistent, and he's a little undersized, but he's got really good quickness. So these big, huge honker offensive linemen that Texas is going to roll out there, they better be quick, because these guys like Alexander Lincoln will expose them with their quickness.
All right, defensive tackle, Sid Moore, Dutton Watson. Same situation, newer faces. We've got a ways to go on the defensive line.
I mean, I'll tell you what, my number one player that I am most excited about on this entire team is Sid Moore. Sid Moore, he's a guy that, you know, had a lot of Division I interest. I think grades may have played a little bit into it, but the long story short is we got him. And if you watch some of his YouTube video and some of his film, I'm telling you what, Evan, this guy reminds me a lot of Booger Kennedy. He's not the same body type. He's not as big. He's actually a little taller, but he's about 260 pounds. But this guy is so quick and will deliver punishment. I'm really interested to see how well he plays. The coaches, even back in the spring, were saying this guy can play football. So he's a guy, keep an eye out for number 63 at defensive tackle. I think he's going to be something special.
All right, defensive end, Chad Polk and Malik DeLonga. It's an interesting one here.
It is. I mean, Chad Polk, he's 6 foot if he's that, and he's 231 pounds, and I think he's probably close to 231 pounds. The guys at Texas are going to look at that and just start belly laughing, saying, my gosh, you're going to start a defensive end. I mean, just to give you a comparison, I think Reed, the defensive end for Texas, goes about 6'6", 258 pounds. So he doesn't fit the perfect physical profile, but he's extremely fast, hard worker, productive, and a heart. You know, McCarty mentioned that in the unveiling of the two deep, is that Polk plays with so much heart. I think he's going to be a good player for us. And then Malik DeLonga, he fits the profile a little bit more of what you'd see a defensive end at 6'4", 252. Young, redshirt sophomore, this is his first chance to really show what he can do. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he'll definitely be in the rotation. You're going to see him out on the field. But you're going to have some growing pains, I think, a little bit with him.
All right, so moving on, we've got the Daryl Mason and Jarian Roberts.
Daryl Mason, you know, they don't call him a starter, but I'll tell you what, he started in the bowl game for us at defensive end. I think he's a really good player. He maybe got overshadowed by some other players in years past, but he's played a lot of football at North Texas. He's very athletic at 6'3", 247. He can run. I think he could be a real surprise for North Texas fans this year in terms of, you know, he's going to get a lot of playing time. So I think that he's a really good athlete, and I think he can play. Jarian Roberts, he was a highly ranked recruit for us. We beat out some teams.
Yeah, he was a good pickup.
Yeah, we beat out some good teams for him. He's played sparingly, had some moments, kind of picked up a fumble, I think, against Tulsa and ran it back for a touchdown last year. But he's a guy that has some real upside. And, again, you know, if you're a fan and you follow this stuff and recruiting and everything else, there's so many guys like this that you're really interested in seeing how they perform, you know, when the lights come on.
All right, move over to linebacker, where we obviously have a lot of questions. Fred Scott and Anthony Wallace in middle linebacker.
Fred Scott, just a really good football player. He will be a sophomore this year. Did not get a lot of playing time, obviously, because the great Zach Orr was ahead of him last year. But this is a guy that I think can really play the position. He may not be as good as Zach Orr right out of the gate, but he's going to be a real good football player for us. And then they had the biggest battle, him and Anthony Wallace. And then for those that don't know, Anthony Wallace was a four-star national, everybody wanted him in the country recruit, signs with Oregon, plays for Oregon, I think as a true freshman, played for Oregon in some games, and then something happened, whatever else, comes home, walks on to North Texas, another walk-on story, but he was awarded a scholarship, I believe, actually. But anyway, he came on real strong. I was kind of nervous about him back in the spring. He looked a little lost at times, but he's evidently really picked up his game, because that was probably one of the toughest battles other than quarterback that took place in fall camp. So Scott gets a narrow edge and will start against Texas. But Anthony Wallace is nipping right at his heels.
All right, Sed Ellis and Jamal Marshall.
Sed Ellis, I mentioned that was my mistake earlier. He had the big hit on the Rice quarterback that was, you know, all over YouTube and everything else. He's an extremely athletic, very big hitter. You know, had some off-the-field issues. Those have been put behind him. He's a guy that I think is going to be really fun to watch. And Jamal Marshall's in the same vein. I mean, this is the outside linebacker position that Will Wright had held for several years. You need speed. You need a guy that is very athletic. I think both these guys will make some mistakes, but I think their athleticism – I mean, Jamal Marshall was a sprinter, a great sprinter in high school. And they've both put on some weight. Mac mentioned that in his two deep unveiling, but both very athletic, both can make plays. I think, you know, we could be real good at that position. It may not be in the first couple of games. It's going to take them a little bit of a learning curve, but these guys can play. They're great athletes.
All right. Outside linebacker, Derek Okune and Calvin Miner. Obviously Derek is somebody we know.
He's the MVP of the defense to me. I mean, he is the number one guy. He, you know, if Derek can play like Derek can play, then I think we have a chance to be really good at linebacker and on defense. Calvin Miner surprised me a little bit. I did not know if he would be the guy, but he is, and he's young, another sophomore. And the thing to keep in mind is all these young underclassmen, you're going to have a learning curve with them, but boy, that, you know, if they can play, you know, you could have a really good defense for years to come.
All right, let's move over to guard position. Mason Yabarbo and Travis Eller. Obviously, the defensive line is something that
Offensive line.
I was reading two different things here. Offensive line is where we are obviously strong, and this is the strong portion of the team. You've got a lot of starts among these guys, and this is going to be our one thing to hang our hat on this season.
And I'm going to blow through the offensive line kind of in one response.
We know most of these guys. These are known people.
It's the strength of the team. The biggest thing I think you have to question is they moved Cyril Lemon from guard to tackle.
Yeah, what was the reasoning behind that?
I think it's because he gives them the best chance to have the best player at the tackle position. I think, you know, that we know we have a great one in Antonio Johnson at the left tackle position, but Cyril comes in and gives you a great football player. Now, he's got to adjust to the speed of being on the outside. But he's got the capability to do it. Now, he's an NFL, you know, he's a potential NFL draft choice at guard. But I think they looked at it and said, this guy can help our team win by playing at the tackle position, and that's where they put him. So it's going to be interesting because he's going to be matched up against some big old dudes that can run when we play Texas. But I think the other story is Sean McKinney got the right guard position. And here's the bottom line. Sean McKinney showed them enough that they felt comfortable moving Cyril Lemon. They felt like Sean could do a good enough job at guard. The only issue with Sean McKinney I think you got is, can he be consistent, not just for the first 6 to 8 plays, but, you know, for the, you know, for 15, 20, 30 plays. He's a big boy. He's 6'4", 358 pounds, and he's leaner than he's probably ever, you know, he's it's not, I saw him a couple weeks ago. He's not fat. He's really worked out and done what they've asked him to do.
And looking at this offensive line, it is a offensive line, and you're looking at some really good players. They're seniors, but we have depth there that even when these guys leave, yeah, we're going to be able to tell, but you've got really good players that are going to be still around.
Yeah, it's offensive line. You got to tip your hat to Mike Simmons. They've done a great job recruiting, bringing guys in. To me, it's the strength of the team. It's the deepest part of the team. And next year is going to be tough when you lose a Cyril Lemon and a guy like Mason Yabarbo. I mean, that guy's been as good a lineman as we've ever had. But there are young guys that can step up and fill the gaps. And then you've got some transfers like Sam Rice, the transfer from SMU. He's got to sit out this season. But I'm telling you right now, Sam Rice is going to be one of our best linemen when he gets to actually get on the field next year.
All right, everybody's favorite controversial position. Why don't we see more of them? The tight end position, Marcus Smith and Tanner Smith.
I tell you what, Marcus Smith, another guy, he made some really good plays last year. Not a ton of them, but he had a huge reception in the bowl game. Wears number 18. He is a really interesting guy. Could be NFL caliber guy. He's got the size, the speed, the hands. He was a wide receiver in high school. Now he's 6'4", 247. If he can get the blocking down, that's the only thing, the only question mark I have with Marcus. But Marcus, especially in a game like Texas, you know, if you could drag that tight end across the middle, finding open space, he's a guy that can is pretty athletic. I'm real excited about tight end with Marcus Smith. And then Tanner Smith backing him up has been just as solid as you can ask for from a guy that can really do a lot of different things.
All right, we're going to skip over this list here. We're going to move past quarterback, come back to that.
Let me say one more thing on tight end before I forget. Chris Loving, you know, he got in some off-the-field issues with Seth Ellis. We put that behind him. I thought it was interesting that Mac specifically mentioned Chris Loving in that video. He's still mad at him, you can tell, because he hasn't gotten to his potential, but the guy's got potential. And he's not on this depth chart, but don't be shocked to see Chris Loving out on the field Saturday.
All right, let's move past quarterback and go down to running back. Obviously, we lost two good ones last year, but we've got Reggie Pegram and Antoine Jimerson.
Yeah, I mean, Pegram had a great season, I thought, and then until he got injured. And then he had the long rehab from the ACL. The reality of it is he got healthy. He did what they asked him to do, and he won the job. I mean, everybody kind of thought Antoine Jimerson was going to get this job, and mm-hmm. he played the most last season. They're both good players. I almost wonder that if the Pegram thing, I mean, had something to do maybe with the fact he isn't going to turn the ball over as much. That's been the downside with Jim, is that he, you know, can fumble the ball. And, you know, Mac hates turnovers. So I wonder in the back of my mind. But, hey, again, next offensive line, I think running back's the next. I mean, we got tons of options. There's a couple freshmen that I think are making the trip. Jeffrey Wilson out of East Texas and also Willie Ivory. So, you know, don't be shocked to see those guys out there. And again, next offensive line, I think it's the deepest position on the team.
Well, you know how last year the turnover margins, we had a great year at that. I mean, we had a lot of good turnovers where we got them from right. That team. We didn't lose any. And so that's something we really hung our hat on last year. You got to hope that's going to happen again this year, and that could play into it with the Pegram move.
Well, I think he's a great player, transferred in from Purdue. I mean, wow, you know, what a great opportunity for him. You know, he's from a big program at Purdue, and now he's got a chance to show what he can do on a big stage Saturday.
All right, wide receiver, we lost, obviously, Breland Chancellor.
And we also lost Darnell Smith.
Right, I mean, and two guys that made a heck of a place. But, you know, we also talked about, and we talked about this before, the bowl game last year. You saw other names in a lot of positions and a lot of key plays that were made by them. That the wide receiver is a position that you look at this with Carlos Harris. There's a lot of names on here. T. Garden, Kidzy, some names that kind of came on towards the end of the year.
I mean, the one that jumps out at you, especially with this Texas game, is Darius Terrell. Darius Terrell was a 4-star all everything out of DeSoto, signs with UT. Things don't work out, and Mac made mention of the fact they tried to move him from wide receiver to tight end when they changed offenses. He's a senior. He's got a chance in this game. He's extremely talented to make a huge statement.
Right.
I mean, I think this is a guy to keep an eye on. Carlos Harris, very consistent. He started all last year. But there, again, wide receiver, there's so many names that you could point to. I think it's a little surprising to me. I think we all were kind of expecting T. Garee out of East Texas.
Well, that was something I was going to bring up. We really expected a lot and have not heard a thing.
Well, and I wouldn't put too much into that. He's a true freshman, and there's a lot of guys, you know, competing for just a few spots. Rumor has it he's not making the trip. I hope he is. If he's not, I think the guy's got a lot of talent, and you just have to – understand, he's a true freshman. He's got to learn an entire system, and it may take some time.
What about Turner Smiley, from redshirt freshman from Frisco?
They like him a lot. They like him a lot. He's got a redshirt year, so he knows the system. You know, he obviously did some things that impressed them because he's in this two deep right now. He's not listed as a starter, but he's right there behind Carl Caldwell, which is a whole nother walk-on story. I mean, you know, you're talking about walk-ons. Carl, he also goes by Skip Caldwell. I mean, this is a guy nobody knew about last year. I mean, nobody knew who he was. And he went to a smaller school out of White House, Texas, had a great showing there, and then decided he wanted to play 1A ball. And now he's going to be starting against the University of Texas. It's a pretty impressive story. But the word I get on him is he's got great speed. He's 5'10", 177, but he can really run.
All right, so now let's go back to the quarterback position. A few weeks ago, we obviously had one of these podcasts, and we talked about who we thought was going to be quarterback, and at all points and all signs at that point, get a hearing from Brett watching from across the river there at practices through the bars. We thought McNulty was going to be the guy, and Greer won the position.
He did, and I think, you know, well, first off, you tip your hat to Andrew McNulty. The guy has been nothing but a good soldier the whole time he's been here.
Wait, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. How is he a junior?
He had that wrist injury that got him a medical red shirt.
It seems like he's been here forever. I mean, he scored the first touchdown in the stadium.
Yeah,
and this
he
is
did.
Is this the third year of the stadium?
Yeah, well,
no, it's a fourth.
Going
year.
On the fourth.
Yeah, and he's a junior. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, he had a wrist injury, and that you know how those injuries.
So was he a true freshman when he scored that?
Yes, he was.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting that he was. He'll go down in history
That's
with
right.
North Texas as the first guy to score in Apogee Stadium. But the thing about him is he's a good guy. He came up a little bit short, but you need him to be ready. Because
no, yeah, there's no doubt.
As I've talked about on the board ad nauseum, I mean, Josh Greer, when he was a junior at Arlington, was every program in the country was interested in Josh Greer. Kid 6'5", 200-something pounds, can throw the ball, can run. And then he got injured, okay? And then he didn't get to participate in the 7-on-7 drills and showcase and everything else. And so things kind of cooled down in his recruiting. Ends up going to University of Alabama, Birmingham. Things don't work out there. Transfers into Navarro Junior College. Looks really good at Navarro, but then he gets injured again. Even though he had a chance to transfer into a big school at Navarro, because there's a lot of good talent at Navarro, that didn't work out. The one thing is Chico stayed consistent recruiting him. Matt Canales did a great job. I think the bottom line is Greer has more upside. He's a sophomore. He's a big guy. He's got a big arm. And they just said, you know what? He made a few more plays than McNulty, but they're both really close. So Greer's going to get the start. And I think all of the fans are just sitting on pins and needles to see how he does. I mean, it's going to be tough in that type of environment for a new guy to come in and play. But if he can play well and if he can continue to grow, that's a great thing for this program to have a guy that's just a sophomore
exactly.
leading you at quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, when we don't know really he's an unknown commodity, what are we going to do? What do you think the game plan against Texas is going to be? Obviously, we know Mac's old school.
Yeah.
You know how he likes to run the ball. He's you know, he reminds you a lot of Dickey in that whole. It's going to be conservative game plan. Texas, we don't know either. Texas got a new coach, new plan. What are they going to do? Now, they got a lot of players sitting out the first game that were suspended, but, you know, they probably figured, well, it's North Texas, you
right,
know, and
right.
so they can sit them out. They've got a couple of key injuries. What's our game plan?
I think the interesting thing about this game is that the game plans are going to be very similar. Charlie Strong is going to be a whole lot like Mac in terms of he's not going to want to turn the ball over. He's going to want to run the ball down our throats. And I think you're going to see a similar type deal with Mac in that Mac wants to run the ball. And if you think about it, that's what our strength is we've got a great offensive line, great running backs. He's going to want to run the ball. The problem is against a team as talented as Texas, and when you're talking about Texas, Evan, you know this, they're getting the best players in the country every single year. I mean, they lead the country in recruiting every single year because they're Texas. So I think the challenge that I see in this game is that it's going to be hard for us to run the ball against them. They're going to load the box. They know it's a new quarterback, and they're going to dare him to throw the ball. They're going to dare him to go back so they can get sacks and interceptions and things of that nature. So to me, I think the game plan, if you're North Texas, is you've got to be able to throw the ball to get the first downs and keep the chains moving, keep the clock going. You want to shorten this game as much as you can, but you can't afford to do three runs and then punt the ball on fourth down to some, you know, sprint guy, you know, that can return the ball against your special teams. So I think the game plan for North Texas has to be, you know, run the ball. That's fine. But you're going to have to throw the ball a little bit to mix things up and loosen up for the running game. They can be safe passes. They don't have to be dangerous passes. They can be safe passes, very similar to what Thompson did a lot last year, you know, to the sideline, that kind of stuff. But I think that's the thing you want to shorten this game up as much as you possibly can. And
special teams is going to have. We can't give up the run back. We can't give up the big play, the punt return for a touchdown.
Look at that K-State game, and if it's out on YouTube if anybody wants to watch it. But the thing about that K-State game was we were beating K-State. We scored a touchdown, took the lead. Their fans were all shocked. And what did we do? We kicked off the ball, and they ran it back 100 yards for a touchdown. You cannot do that against these type of teams. So you're absolutely right, Evan. I mean, special teams is so critical, to the point of where, I mean, you know, I would not be opposed to just kicking the ball out of bounds, you know, for not necessarily on kickoffs, but you know what I'm saying. Avoid those situations as much as you possibly can, because that's where they have a huge advantage, I think, is in special teams. I think their athletes, they just have more speed, more athleticism in special teams than we're going to be able to put together, you know, in the game. So I think it's – if we can come out there the first time we have the ball and run the ball – and, of course, turnovers, like you said. But if we can run the ball and get some 2-3 yards on them, that's going to be a real good sign if you're a North Texas fan.
Well – there's one of the things that a lot of people have talked about is the party Friday night.
That's right. Important things.
Yeah, the party. Well, the game is on, it's Saturday night, and it's a 7 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Can you remember? You remember the last time we played Texas?
Oh my gosh!
Do you remember it was like 300 degrees?
Oh, so hot!
And we were down there in the end, staring right into the sun. That was one of the most miserable games as far as heat wise I can ever remember, and it was miserable. So the game's at 7:00. Things are going to be, you know, cooling off a little bit, which is kind of nice. So I'm kind of excited about that. The other problem is there's probably going to be some rain. They got that little depression off the Gulf there moving in, and so it could be wet and hot.
If you're a North Texas fan, you hope and pray for rain. If it rains, that is the best thing that could happen.
The equalizer there.
It happened in the Georgia game. People forget about it, but that Georgia game, there was,
raining.
It was raining, and that is a huge equalizer if you're North Texas playing a team like Texas, because that slows the game down a little bit. That takes away a little bit of the speed advantage that Texas has. So I will welcome showers with open arms if they happen, but the party's great. I mean, we're going to have, you know,
it's going to be a good showing.
We're going to have a good showing. I know people are excited. I'm excited about actually my family. We're all going down Friday, but they are going to have a party on Friday night. It's actually at 5:30 at the Silo, which.
Yeah, the Silo on 7th. There's links on the board. You'll find it. GoMainGreen.com in the forums. One of the pinned topics there is the party. Ramses is going to the party. Let's see. It is under.
It's at the top of the board. You can't miss it.
Yeah, you can. It's under the topic of Friday night and Saturday night tailgate event info for Austin. So you've got plenty of time. You can stay there late and sleep in.
Yeah, and our good friend Adman, who got on the show last week or a couple weeks ago, is involved in that establishment, the Silo. I know they're talking about it's got kind of a big, long brick exterior to it, and they're going to put a huge battle. They're talking about putting a big North Texas battle flag out there. So it'll be kind of cool. One little spot in Austin is going to be real green Friday night. So I'm excited about that. And then, of course, the tailgating is always fun. It's a fun trip. I mean, as hot as it was at that last game, you still have a great time because it is the University of Texas. I mean, there's a lot of tradition. That place is going to be packed. There's going to be 100,000 people there. And it's an opportunity game. I mean, it's a great chance for North Texas to make a real strong statement to the entire country.
Well, you're exactly right. So for those of you that can't make the game, obviously look on the board. There's some local tailgating events. You know, Todd put together one for the Collin County group. There's some there's going to be some on campus. There's going to be all over the place. This game's going to be on the Longhorn Network. So a lot of people get together with somebody else and watch the game and support the Mean Green.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a win or lose. It's a great event for the University of North Texas. And that's why I say if we're going to play these big paycheck type games, if it's me, I want to play a team like Texas every time because we've gotten so much good publicity the last several weeks surrounding this game, so much media attention. It's just unbelievable.
And also, don't forget that the I was looking at two different things. Oh, Thursday, tomorrow, Beyond the Green, first episode.
Ashton Campbell, the producer, director, creator of that series, has joined us on the show. He's a good friend of the show. It's just an awesome show. We're huge fans of it. So definitely set your DVR or plan to watch it tomorrow. And there's more information on that on the board, but I know it's going to be on Fox Southwest, I believe. And it's just a great show. And Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I know you're excited about it, too.
Yeah, well, it was great. They do a great job, and, you know, this is kind of what the athletic department and groups have to do, and it's done real well, and it you don't just know the program by the games on Saturday. You get to learn the players. You know, like, that's the guy that we saw that was having dinner, or that's the guy that has the dog that does tricks or whatever. You get to know right. the team, and you buy into it more than just knowing them on Saturday. So make sure you set the DVR to record that tomorrow and record every new episode that comes out. And, of course, I'm sure they'll be posted up somewhere to watch if you happen to miss it. So with that, Harry, hey, good luck to North Texas.
Drive safe down there, and I look forward to seeing a lot of the fans and everybody Friday night and Saturday at the game.
That's right. And we'll be back next week for hopefully a good discussion and a preview of the SMU game.
Oh, man, that's delicious. I can't wait for SMU.
Oh, I can't either. All right, with that, we will say goodbye. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.